All right, we're going to start here on the top of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, about 8 lines down. Ella Rabbi Eliezer de Atzei Asherah. Just to remind ourselves, yesterday the Gemara was looking for an author for the Braita that says that if one uses Isurei Hana to fire up the oven or the Kiraim or the stove, then Hadash, if it's a new one, Yutatz, it needs to be broken. Yashan, if it's an old one, Yutzan, then you just have to cool it off. The Gemara is in search of the author of that position. And the assumption of the Gemara is that the author of that position believes Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur. Zev Zeh Goreim means that there are two drivers, there are two proponents, two catalysts of the resulting utility of this oven. And that's because if you finish the oven with Isurei Hana'ah, you fire it up in the kiln in order to make the oven functional, that means that every time you utilize the oven, one of the factors, catalyst that makes the oven functional is the fact that it was finished with the Isurei Hana'ah. On the other hand, when you heat it up in the successive times, you're heating it up with things that are mutar. So therefore you have two gormim over here, you have two catalyst factors that make the oven functional. One is the finishing ayidei Isurei Hana'ah, and one is now the heating up ayidei the heter. And so that's what we call zeh v'zeh goreim. And here we're saying that it's asur, you have to break such an oven. And the Gemara is in search of an author of such a position. The Gemara first thought it might be Rabbi from the Baraita, but the Gemara rejected that. Then it said it is Rabbi Eliezer. We tried to bring one proof from Rabbi Eliezer with the regards to Truma, and the Gemara said that that's not Mukhrach. So now the Gemara moves on to another attempt to find that position within Rabbi Eliezer. Ella, Rabbi Eliezer de Atzei Asherah. Must be Rabbi Eliezer of Atzei Asherah. Ditznan, we have a Mishnah. Natale mena itzim asurim behana. If he takes wood or branches from the Asherah, then it's asur behana'ah. Hesek behem et atanur, if he fires up the oven with them, chadash yutatz, yashan yutzan. If it's a new oven, then he's got to break it. Yashan, if it's an older oven, then he just lets it cool off. Afa bo et apat, asurim behana'ah. If he cooks the pot inside of it, then it's asur behana'ah. Nit arva be'acherot. If he then gets mixed up, get mixed up with other items. Now, we have an argamara of acherot be'acherot, and then they with others, meaning that it gets mixed up, and then again gets mixed up with other items. The Rabbeinu Tam takes it out and says the Mishnah does not have that girsa in it. The Mishnah does not contain acherot ve'acherot. But nevertheless, kulan asurim ba'ana'ah. They're always a problem of isur hana'ah. Rabbi Eliezer omer, yolich hana'ah liyam ha'melach. That if they get mixed together, all you have to do is you redeem the value of the isur asurim over here, and then you take that money and throw it in yam ha'melach. Amrulo, chamim said back to him, ein podim la'avodah zarah. You can't redeem Avodah Zarah. There's no such thing as redemption of Avodah Zarah, of transference of the problem of Avodah Zarah onto money. It's not like Hekdesh, where you can transfer the Hekdesh onto the money. Over here, you can't transfer Avodah Zarah onto money. This Rabbi Eliezer seems to say that Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur. The truth is, the Tanakhama for sure says Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur. The Tanakhama is very clear about his position. He says that Chadash Yutatz, Yashan Yutzan. So he's clear that Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur. So the Tanakhama of Rabbi Eliezer certainly holds Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur. But Rabbi Eliezer himself also says the same thing, because he says the only time it's mutar is if you redeem the Avodah Zarah, you take the Isur Hana'ah out of there. But if you don't take the Isur Hana'ah out of there, Rabbi Eliezer agrees to the position of the Tanakhama. So truthfully, Rashi mentions this, that we could have said that the author of that Braita before is the Tanakhama of Rabbi Eliezer. We just don't know who the Tanakhama is. So we're just calling it Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer means him and his party over here, meaning him and the Tanakhama as well. Everybody in this Mishnah from Avodah Zarah agrees that Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur. And that's clear. This Mishnah looks exactly like the first Braita that we brought before. So Rabbi Eliezer will be the author of the first Braita before, or the Tanakhama Rabbi Eliezer will be that author. And the Rabbanan will be the authors of the second Braita. Gemara says, how can you prove that from here about Rabbi Eliezer? Imor dishmaitle the Rabbi Eliezer b'avodah zarah d'chamir yitzurah. This opinion of Rabbi Eliezer might be unique to Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, which has a high standard or high threshold of Isur, therefore, it also has this problem, zev zeh goreim is Asur. B'shar yisurim shvetorah mishmaitle. How do you know you can extrapolate that position to any other Isur? Avodah Zarah might be unique in its stringency, and therefore you cannot extrapolate from it. So, Ela Imkain, so the Gemara says two answers. One is, if you think that's the case, Aman Tarmiei, who are we going to place this Braita? We can't find an author to this Braita except Rabbi Eliezer. So, if we're not going to accept that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is not unique to Avodah Zarah, but rather applies to all Sirim Shabbat Torah, we have no author for our Braita. And therefore, it's most likely that it is Rabbi Eliezer. That's one. Number two is Vod. Hatanya Behedja. We have a Braita that explicitly says that Rabbi Lezer extends this position to other Isurim, which is V'cheinaya Rabbi Lezer Oser B'chol Isurim Shebatorah. Similar to Atzei Asherah, Rabbi Lezer extrapolates, or his opinion applies to all Isurim Shebatorah. So it's clear here that Rabbi Lezer believes Zev Zegorim is Asur, and he will be the author of that first Braita. Now, Amar Abaye. Abaye comes back and says, okay, let's look at Rabbi's position over here. What's Rabbi's position? Imtim Salomar Zev Zegorim Asur. If Rabbi believes Zev Zegorim is Asur, then Rabbi Hainu Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi and Rabbi Eliezer will be undifferentiated in their positions, which is that they both think Zev Zegorim is Asur, and that's why he could also have been the author of that previous Braita. Vim Tim Salomar, if you want to suggest Zev Zegorim Mutar, that Rabbi believes Zev Zegorim is Mutar, like the Gemara suggested before, how do you know that Rabbi is the author of Braita? Maybe he just has a problem with Shvach Eitzim. But Zev Zegorim, he might not agree, and he might say it's Mutar. That's why he says it's a surah over there. Hani ki'arot v'kosot utzlochiyot. These plates or bowls, kosot, goblets or cups, utzlochiyot or flasks or bottles. Asirei, even Rabbi would agree that they're problematic. Kiplige, when Rabbi disagrees, is betanur v'kteira. That's when he's talking about an oven or a cooking pot. The difference being is whether you have a zev zegorim instance over here. In the case of Karot, Kosot, and Slochiot, they're heated once. They're heated once to finish them. That's in the kiln. When they're heated once, they're finished. After that, their utility is even without heating. So if you go to take a drink from the cup, there's only one Gorim over here. The only Gorim is the item that caused it to be finished, which was Isur. And therefore, it's going to be problematic, according to Rabbi, because of Yesh Shvach Itzim Bapat. Because we do believe that when you fire something up with Isurei Hana, that it does have impact on that item. And since it has an impact on the item over here, therefore, these items are going to be Asurim. There's no case of Zev Zegorim over here. It's one Gorim, and that Gorim is Isur. Whereas, by Tanur and Ktera, they're only used in instances of heating them up. A Tanur is not functional until you heat it up. A Ktera, a pot that you put on the oven, or you put on the stovetop, needs to be heated up. So over those cases, there will always be a Zev Zegorim, because one Gorim will be the finishing of the item that was done by Isurei Hana. The other Gorim will be the reheating of them in the next instance, and that will be Heter. So then, Rebbe will believe over there that it's mutar. Rebbe Lezer will believe that it is asur. Lamanda amar zev zegorim asur asur. According to the one who says zev zegorim asur, will say that tanur and kedera are problematic. Lamanda amar zev zegorim mutar shori. They will be mutarim. Ika damre. There's some that say afilu lamanda amar zev zegorim mutar kedera asura. Kedera falls into the same category as karot kosot and slochiot. Taha kabla bishula mikamin iten etzim dehetera. Because when you place something in the pot, you place it in there before you heat it up. So if you're going to cook the soup on the stovetop, you put the soup in the pot, and then you heat it up. So the pot has function even without the other goreim. I mean, the tanur only has one function. You don't put bread in there unless the oven is hot. The oven's not hot, you don't put bread in there because there's no value in that. It's not going to help you whatsoever. On the other hand, by a pot, the pot has value even without being heated up because you put the item to cook in it prior to heating up the pot. And therefore, he would think that it's in the same category as kiarot, kosot, and slochiot, which is only one goreim. All right, Amar Yosef, Amar Yehuda Meshmol, Tanur Shisiko Beklipe Orla. So now we have another Braita, a Braita that is now in the name of Shmuel. And in Shmuel's Braita, Tanur Shisiko Beklipe Orla Bekashin Shel Kelei Akerim, similar to the first Braita we saw before. Chadash Yutatz, Yashan Yutzan. So this is similar opinions that we saw before in that first Braita. Afa Boat Apat, he bakes the bread in it. Rabbi Omer Apat Muteret. Mimarim Apat Asura. Rabbi says the pot is fine. The Chamim say it's problematic. Baha. Tanya Ipcha. This is the exact opposite of the first Braita that we brought down. In the first Braita that we brought down, we said Rabbi said it was Asura. The Chamim said it's Muteret. So why do we have it backwards over here? So one answer of the Gemara is Shmuel Ipcha Tani. That's the Mesorah that Shmuel had. Shmuel had the Braita brought down with the opposite of the previous Braita that we brought down, the first Braita that we brought down in the Sugya. V'baiteima. Some say, Ba'alma Kasav Shmuel, that actually Shmuel intentionally flipped their opinions, and even though he had the Girso, or his Braita was the same as the Braita we brought before. And that is because Shmuel normally thinks Halacha k'Rabbi mechaveiro. The principle in Halachic Psak is that when you have Rabbi Cholek on one other individual, the Halacha is like Rabbi. Velo mechaveirav. But when he argues on a plural, when he argues on a multitude, then he's not, Halacha is not like him. So Rabbi will win in a one-on-one situation, but when the Rabbim argue on Rabbi, he will not win. Ubaha, in this halacha, afilu mechaveirav, the halacha is like Rabbi, even against the Rabbim. So if we go back and look at the Braita that we first brought down, there Rabbi said apata surah, Chachamim said it's muteret. Now Shmuel believes in this case, the halacha is like Rabbi, despite the fact that the Chachamim argue on him. So he wants Halacha to be a pat asura. So what does he do? Vesaver atnei ipcha. I'll flip their positions. Kiyahechem denikim rabbanon lisura. If I flip their positions, then the rabbim will be of the position of pat asura, and I'll basically get what I want. I get the Halacha to be rabbi by making it the rabbim now. So he flipped the positions in order to get the Halacha the way he wanted, without having to argue with everybody or have to prove to everybody that here the Halacha is like rabbi mechavei rav. So he did it intentionally to cause Halacha to be paskin in that manner. Right, probably not the best thing to do, but we see it in other places. We've seen this not the first place in Shas that we've seen that. We see sometimes that Amoraim quote something in the name of somebody even though they never said it in order to give it a strength or tokef. That when they want to get the Halacha paskin, sometimes over here they have a problem because they don't want to confuse people. In this instance, if he says Halacha is like Rabbi, people might come to the conclusion that Halacha Rabbi Michave Rab, which he doesn't want to do. He wants it only to be in this case. So he found it easier to flip the Braita in order to get the Halacha that way without having to cause a major uproar or cascade out of this, which will be problematic, which is we don't want people to think that the Halacha is like Rabbi Michave Rab. So he felt this was the easiest solution in order to get the Halacha that way without causing waves in paskening Halacha. Right, so now the next piece of the Gemara says, in the next line in the Braita says, Bishla gabi gichalim, divri akol apat muteret. If he bakes it on top of the coals, then everybody says it's mutar. Even Rabbi agrees once you bake it on top of the coals that it's fine. The difference being that if he cooks it when there's a flame there, we're going to see this in 1 second, then there's still shvachitzim bapat. Then the isur is still be'ein, it's still extant, and it's causing the value to come into the bread itself. On the other hand, once it's a coal, it's gone. It's been destroyed. There's something else here now. You have a coal. Coal is a destroyed piece of hana'ah. It's no longer an Isur hana'ah. There's no longer an Isur hana'ah. If you're heating it up with the coals, then you don't have a problem with shvachitzim, and even Rabbi will agree that it's muteret. So now we have Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmo, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Amar Rav Yochanan. We have two memrot. One is from Yehuda Mishmo, and one's from Chiya Bar Ashi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Chad Amar Lo Shanu Ela Gichalim Omomot. This is only true when you're talking about coals that are still hot. They are simmering down. These are coals in their decline. Aval gichalim lo chashot. If these are glowing coals, these are coals that have a flame on them, asurim, they remain asur, because those coals still have part of the isur hana'ah stand to them. Gadamar, and one of them says, afilu gichalim lo chashot nami mutar. If you reach the point where they're coals, even if the coals are glowing and they still have a flame on them, it's mutar. So bishlom alaman damar lo chashot asurim. According to one who says that the glowing coals or the coals with the flame on them are asurim, that we understand mishum diesh vachitzim bapat. If he says that even when the coals have a flame on them, it's mutar, pat asar, the rabbi, hechamishkachale. Where is there a case where the pot's going to be problematic? Where are you going to have shvachitzim bapat? How do you cook bread? You have the coals in there, you heat up the oven, and then the bread bakes inside of it. So now where's the case when it's going to be problematic? So when it's still there, when it's first burning out, when it's not a coal, but it's when the wood is there and you're actually burning the item. So when the flame is alive and the flame is burning the Isur hana'ah, according to Rabbi, that'll be a problem with shvachitzim bapat. But once you hit the point of a coal, then it's not problematic. Now, if you establish that that's the position of Rabbi, now what's the position of the Rabbanan? Michlau, the Rabbanan de pliga alei, shoru afilu shagavuka genegdo. That means that the Chamin believe that even when there's a fire, you have the etzim there and you're burning them, that's not called shvachitzim bapat, because the Chamin believe that as you burn it, it's consumed. And if it's consumed, it doesn't exist anymore. So the consumption, it's acting as a fuel. And so there, once the fuel is gone, meaning the flame is made and the fuel is gone, there's never Isur hana'ah over here. Then when is Eitzim, or when you have Isur hana'ah that are Eitzim, whenever is it problematic? It's never going to be problematic. No matter how you burn it or you use it to heat up something, it's not problematic. So I'm Rabbi Ami Bar Chama Chibish Shar Shifa. When you're talking about a footstool, or you're talking about a kisei, meaning that the only time you can have a problem with these Isur hana'ah is when they're actually extant. When you make them into a footstool or you make them into a chair where the Eitzim are physically there, that's going to be a problem with Isur hana'ah. But if you burn them, there isn't going to be a problem of Isur hana'ah. Bamine Rami Bar Chama im Rav Chista. Rami Bar Chama asked this of Rav Chista. Tanu shisiku batzei hektesh. Instead of being atzei, whether we had before Asherah, or had we had before Orla, or Kilei Akerem, which all Isurim hana'ah, over here was done with hektesh. And then he bakes a loaf of bread in it. The Rabbanan, who say in these other cases that it's mutar because in all these cases, they don't believe that there's Shevach Eitzim Bapat. So since they don't believe that there's Shevach Eitzim Bapat, therefore they think that it's not problematic. What is their position when it comes to Hekdesh? So Amalei, a pat asura. He says that here the pat is problematic. So it says, Ma ben Zula Orla? Why is this different than all the other cases before? The Chachamim said it's fine. Why all of a sudden over here do they say it's problematic? Amarova Achiashta, how can you compare the cases? Orla Bitela Bematayim. Hektesh Afilu Be'elef Lo Batil. Orla has a case of being Batel, meaning that there's a kula by Orla and by other Isurei Hana, which is that other Isurei Hana have a din of Bitul. Whereas Hekdesh, I feel about Elflo, but by Hekdesh, we don't have that case. So, Omarava, Ikash Le HaKasha. If you want to ask a question, this is the question. Hello, Ma'al HaMesik. The one who lit the fire here and burned the item was Mo'el. Mo'el is somebody who uses Hekdesh, misappropriates Hekdesh, and uses it for his own benefit. When he uses his own benefit, he's Chayav Mi'ilah, which means that he has to bring a Korbana Sham Mi'ilot. He has to repay to Hekdesh the money plus a fifth. So there is a specific prescription for someone who does this, misappropriates Hekdesh. But we also know that once you do Mi'ilah, it causes the item to become Chulin. And therefore, there's a position or principle, Ein Mo'el Achar Mo'el. Two people can't be Mo'el in an item, because the item loses its sense of Hekdesh once somebody misappropriates it. The only exception to that are things that have Kedushat Aguf, like Kli Sharet and Korbanot that have Kedushat Aguf. There, you can have multiple people Mo'el, because even when you're Mo'el, it doesn't take away the Kedushah. But anything that has Kedushat Damim in it, for sure, once one runs Mo'el, it should disappear. So over here, the Eitzim, once he burns them, they're no longer problematic. Because as soon as he starts to burn them, he's misappropriated them. And they should be Chulin now, and it shouldn't be a problem with baking the bread. And anytime someone is Mo'el, then they go out to Chulin. So Amar Rav Papa, I'll tell you what the answer is. Here we're dealing with wood that he was maktish in order to buy a korban shlamim with it. He says, I'm going to be maktish this wood, I'm going to sell it and use the monies to purchase a shlamim with it. Valibad Rabbi Yehuda, and this is according to the position of Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Hekdesh bishogeg mitchalel b'mezid eno mitchalel. Hekdesh, if it's misappropriated accidentally or unintentionally, then it loses its kedusha. On the other hand, if it's done b'mezid, if it's done intentionally, Einu mitchalel, it's not mitchalel, does not lose its kedusha. Bemezid my time alo. Why, when you do it intentionally, does it not lose it? Kevin zolav bar meiluhu, because then there's no iser meilu, or there's no din of meila, no nafik to chulin, therefore it doesn't go out to chulin. Shlamim nami, shlamim the same thing, because they're kodshim kalim. Kevin zolav bar meilu ninhu, since they don't have a din of meila, lo nafik to chulin, they don't go out to be chulin. So here we can come up a case where even though he's quote unquote moel, he's using hekdesh, he's misappropriating hekdesh. It's Hekdesh, it's not going to make a difference. Now, there are two answers, two possible answers you could give over here. Either it's Atzei Shlamim, which is that it's something that's Kodshim Kalim, that don't have a din in Mi'ilah, and that's why over here there's no Mi'ilah, therefore they don't go out to Chulin, they remain Hekdesh. Or the other possibility is, even if it's Kodshim Kalim, he does it B'mezid. And that's the other answer the Gemara could again, he just did it intentionally. If he does it intentionally, it's also problematic, because the Korban Mi'ilah and the repayment of Mi'ilah only is for someone who does it B'shogeg, who does it accidentally or unintentionally. Someone does it intentionally, then there's no din of mi'ilah. He doesn't bring an asham. He does not repay hekdesh in the same way. And therefore, there's no chilul. There's no profaning of the object. And the object remains hekdesh. So either case, whether the etzim were utilized b'mezid, or these were etzim of shlamim, that they were kodshei kolim, in either case, here we have a case where the mi'ilah does not take effect. And if mi'ilah doesn't take effect, they also don't become profane. They don't go to chulin. Cho heicha demal hamesik nafke to chulin. Is it really true? Anytime you have a case of mi'ilah, that automatically whatever he did mi'ilah with misappropriated goes out to chulin. Because we have a braita that seems to disagree with that position. V'atanyo, don't we have a braita? Kol nisrafim efran mutar. Chutz mi'atzei asherah. Anything that has a requirement to be burnt, meaning that it's Yisrei Hanan has to be burnt, once it's burnt, Efran Mutar, their ashes are Mutar. Chutz me'atzei asherah, the exception to that rule is the atzei asherah, that even after it's burnt, it's problematic. Ve'efer hekdesh lo'olam asur, and ashes of hekdesh are always problematic. So here you have a case, it seems in the Braita, that even though it was Nisraf, that had the case of Me'ilah, and yet the efer, the ashes afterwards, are still problematic. But you said before, anytime there's mi'ilah, then there is no problem with the item afterwards, because it's yotzei l'chulin. And here we have a braita that seems to disagree with that. Now, as Tosafot points out, the Gemara could have answered over here that we're talking about atzei shlamim like before, and then you wouldn't have a problem, because there's no mi'ilah by atzei shlamim. If there's no mi'ilah, it's not yotzei l'chulin, and that's where the problem of Eifer is. Seems like the Gemara wants to talk about something broader than that, because it says over here, any type of hektesh, doesn't specify the hektesh. Gemara could also have answered that this is a case of mezid. Again, by mezid, where there's no itziyah l'chulin, maybe that's the reason over here that it's still problematic in Eifer. Gemara seems to indicate, because it says kol and israfim, and all of hektesh seems to want to come up with a more global answer for this question as to why over here, despite the fact that there might have been Me'ilah, that the Afer might still be Asur. Now, the reason that the Gemara is separated between Asherah and Hekdesh is both of them seem to be Asur. Their Afer is Asur is because actually a difference. Afer Hekdesh is always Asur. I'd say Asherah is always Asur, except if a non-Jew is the one who's burning it. Because then he's Mevatel the Avodah Zarah. If he's Mevatel the Avodah Zarah, then it's not a problem with the Afer. So there is one exceptional case or a different case there, and that's why the Mishnah separates them out. One possibility is the fire happened by itself. So since it happened by itself, there's no Mo'el over here. Since there's no Mo'el over here, that's why everything remains Hekdesh, because nobody actively was misappropriating Hekdesh. It happened by itself. Maybe we're talking about ashes over here. It's not all ashes of Hekdesh are problematic. Only these specific ashes are problematic. Detanya. V'samo. Samo eitzel mizbeach is the chumat adeshin. Over there we have samo benachat, if to place it down nicely. V'samo kulo, you have to put all of it there. Samo shlo yifazer, and you place it down so it doesn't get blown away or charged away. And we saw before, v'samo is that etonim gniza, that there's nisar anah still with them and they require gniza. So therefore those are the ashes where the Mishnah is saying that those ashes remain problematic even after they're ashes. But ashes in general will be fine. That's the one answer. Or the answer of Rami Bar Chama is, the reason that these aren't chulin over here is because there was no Me'ilah over here. Why was there no Me'ilah, or there's no Mo'el over here? This is a case where the fire happened by itself, and therefore there's nobody be Mo'el to bring them to chulin. So you could have a case where the ashes are sur, even though somebody is faking them. Alright, back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Bi'ur Chametz Elo B'Sreifa. You can only do Bi'ur Chametz through burning. How do we know that? Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Ein Bi'ur Chametz Elo B'Sreifa. V'adin Notein, it's a Kav V'Chomer. Notar that doesn't have this requirement, or it doesn't have the isur of bayira bayimatze to own sreifa, yet it still is required to be burnt. Chametz, which has this much higher level of isur of bayira bayimatze, lo koshkein should own sreifa, certainly should be burnt. Amrulo kodin shata dan klatol achmir v'sof lakel enudin. You're making a kavachomer, but this kavachomer will lead to a kula, and therefore your logical argument falls apart. Lo matzayit zim l'shofor, because according to you, if he doesn't find wood to burn it, hu yoshov b'batel, then he won't destroy it. V'atorah amrat tashbitu se'or mi'batehem, that you have to eliminate all the se'or in your house. B'chol davar shatay yechol hashbito, you're allowed to get rid of it in any way you can. But the way that you're establishing the kavachomer, only through b'sreifa will it work. That means it'll turn out to be a kula. When he can't do a b'sreifa, then he won't be able to do tashbitu. So chazer Rabbi Yehuda v'danu din acher. So Rabbi Yehuda takes a different approach. And in this approach, he does not use a kav v'chomer, which is a logical argument that can be undermined, but rather uses a gzera shover, a hekesh, which is something that can defy logic. I mean, it's a limud that comes with misora, and since it comes with misora and it can't be done through a logical argument, then even though there might be a problem with it, nevertheless it stands because that's a misora. So it's this, notar asur b'achila, v'chametz asur b'achila. Notar is restricted from being eaten, and chametz is restricted from being eaten. Manotar b'sreifa, just like notar is supposed to be burnt, af chametz b'sreifa, so too chametz should be burnt. So I'm alone, nevela tochia. I'll prove you wrong from nevela. Shasura b'achila, nevela you're not allowed to eat. Veina tuna sreifa, you don't have to burn it. Because we know from the pasuk that you can give it to the ger toshav, or you can sell it to the nechri. So I'm alone, hefresh. Wait a minute, there's a difference. Notar asur b'achila u'behana'a. Notar is not only asur b'achila, but it's also asur b'hana'a. V'chametz asur b'achila b'hana'a. But that's not true by Nevela. Nevela is only Asur B'Achila, not Asur B'Hana. Ma notar noton sreifa, av chametz ton sreifa. Just like notar requires sreifa, so too chametz requires sreifa. Samalo, shoraniskal yochiach. We can prove that wrong from shoraniskal. Shasur B'Achila u'B'Hana. It's Asur in eating and Hana, which saw this earlier in the Gemara. Ve'eno ton sreifa, it's not required to be burnt. Amalan hefresh. Again, we can differentiate. Notar, Asur B'Achila u'B'Hana v'anush karet. It's a sur to be eaten, get benefit from it, and it's punishment if you do eat it, is karet. Chametz asur b'achila b'hana v'anush karet. So too, chametz that has the isur achila, hana, and anush karet, should be b'sreifa, notar b'sreifa, chametz b'sreifa, as opposed to shor niskal, which only has two of those items, which is achila and hana, it doesn't have anush karet. So I'm a low, kelbo shoner shor niskal yochiach. The fats of a shor niskal will prove you wrong. So number one, they're asur b'achila, both because of the tailiv and because of the shor niskal. It's asur b'hana because it's a shor niskal. And it's anush karet because it's chaylev. Ve'ein ta'un sreifa, does not require sreifa. So chazer Rabbi Yehuda v'danu din acher. So Rabbi Yehuda says, all right, I'll take a different approach. Notar yeshno bebal totiru. Notar cannot be left over past a certain time. Ve'chametz bebal toriru. And chametz also may not be left past a certain time. Ma notar bisreifa, just like notar, since it can't be left past that time, is bisreifa. Av chametz bisreifa. Sa'amrulo, they said back to Yehuda, Asham talui v'chatata ofa bala safek. These are two korbanot that are brought al ha-safek. And Asham talui is a korban that's brought for a person who has a safek as to whether he was chayav v'chatat. He had a case where he had chilev and shuman in front of him. Chilev that's asur to eat, shuman that's mutar to eat, and he doesn't know which one he ate. If he ate chilev, he'd have to bring a chatat. If he ate the shuman, he doesn't have to bring anything. So in the interim, he brings what's called an asham talui to protect him in the interim. That's where you bring an asham talui. Asham talui is for things that otherwise are chiyuv karet b'mezid, chiyuv chatat b'shogeg. In a case, we have a safek about it. Again, the Gemara argues about exactly what's safek. I gave the example that everybody agrees that you would bring an asham talui. Chatat of a bal safek. Chatat of is the only korban chatat that can be brought as safek. For instance, a yoledet. A woman who gives birth is required to bring two korbanot to purify herself from the leida. One is an olah, one is a chatat. So she can bring two birds. One bird that's an olah, one's a chatat. In a case where we are uncertain as to whether she gave birth to something that requires a korban. So in that case, now it's a safek. We can't make her a tahor because we don't know. Maybe she had a leida that makes her tmeya. We can't make her tmeya because maybe she's tahora. So what does she do? She brings the birds ala safek. The olah she can bring as a safek. She can say, if I need to bring it, it's a chuvah, it's my obligation. If not, it's a nidava. Other than that, a chatat can only be brought for obligation, it cannot be brought voluntarily. So to bring a chatat voluntarily is impossible, except the one exception to that is chatat of. Chatat of can be brought because none of the chatat of ends up on the mizbeach. Only the blood ends up on the mizbeach. The of itself does not end up on the mizbeach. So in a chatat of, you're allowed to bring it al safek, you sprinkle the blood on mizbeach, and then you dispose of the chatat of. Normally, the chatat of is eaten by the kohanim. Over here, by the safek, it will not be eaten by the kohanim, because the way that you kill a bird for kodashim is through melika, break from the back of the neck. Now, if it's kodashim, and she had to bring the korban, then it's kasher, and they could eat it. On the other hand, if it was not the case that she did not need to bring it, then it's chulin. And if you kill a bird through melika and chulin, that is a trefa or is a nevela, and you may not eat it in that case. So therefore, the kohanim don't eat it. When you dispose of an asham talui or a chatat of, how do you dispose of them in a case over here where they cannot be eaten? So there's a machloket there between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. The Gemara says, the Chachamim say, l'dvarecho yochichu. According to your own reasoning, shehein b'bal totiro, you're not allowed to leave them over. And if you do leave them over, sh'anu omrim b'sreifa. We say if you leave them over, they get sreifa like all other notar. Ve'ata omer b'kvura. But you, Rabbi Yehuda, say that when they're left over, they have to get kvura. They don't get sreifa. So this is Rabbi Yehuda ruining his own shita. He says now a case of baltul tiro. We see that something is restricted from being left over. Despite the fact that it's restricted from left over, it does not require sreifa. Shatok Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was silenced because now they caught him in his own game. Meaning that the lima that he's trying to do or bring is not consistent with his own opinion. His own opinion says that when something's left over, you put it b'kvura. So how can you argue that notar is the paradigm for chametz when notar is not even the paradigm for notar itself? Because in the case of Hashem Talui and Chatat HaSafek, we won't require a sreifa. Some Rav Yosef's, now you'll have some expressions or common expressions that people use, which is Hainu Damre Inche. This is the idiom that people say. Kafat Dechata Nagra, the spoon that was carved by the carpenter. Begava Nisruf Hardola. In the spoon itself, the mustard was burnt, or whether he burnt his tongue on the mustard. Meaning that he built it, he made it, and now it comes back and it hurts him by burning his mustard or burning his tongue. Abaye Amar, Sadno Bisadne Yativ. The maker of the stocks, or the stockards, where they tie up the people who are being punished and put into the stock. And what happens when he does something wrong and he's put into the stock? Meaning that his own mechanisms are now used to lock him up. So he's caught in his own work. Midvil yadei mishtalem. He's paid back by the work of his own hands. Rav Amar, gira bigirei miktil. Person who makes arrows and then is killed by an arrow, midvil yadei mishtalem, is paid back by the work of his own hands. And so too, that's what happened here with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda himself is hurt by his own position. Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it's by kvura, by asham taloi, and chatat safek, ruins his ability to learn his position, the gabei chametz. And therefore he cannot learn the din from notar to chametz because of the fact that he himself, by other places of notar, says that it's a din of kvura and not a din of sreifa. Okay, we'll stop over here.